Accession number 27338, Reel 4.
So, of course, he walked about a lot and bore back, and so many places that we can't remember.
You were to go, as you mentioned, to Syria. What had been the knowledge of what had gone on up there? Obviously, the Vichy French, the situation in relation to the Syrian campaign.
Well, our boys had a very tough battle in Syria. Our 2nd 16th Battalion, and a lot of the casualties came into our hospital then, and we knew a lot of them.
What were the main casualties that you were to experience from the Syrian campaign that you can recall?
Well, I don't recall them as much as I do from Alamein.
All right, well, we can talk about Alamein later.
I was in measles and mumps ward, I know that. And the boys weren't very happy about that, they were very apprehensive.
In relation to the situation of those chaps coming back from Tobruk, obviously a relief of Australian troops had taken place in August, and you mentioned that there were chaps from Tobruk. Do you recall seeing many of those chaps? And could you describe what their symptoms were, how they had been affected by their time there?
I think they were very glad to be out of it, but we had a lot of casualties, friends who were casualties, because there was a Western Australian battalion there.
2nd 28th.
2nd 28th.
What sort of condition were the men in after their time at Tobruk?
I think they're very relieved and pleased to be out of it.
What are their general state of health?
Well, I think quite reasonable.
The general situation, how were you sensing the general situation in the area? Obviously, you mentioned the knowledge of Tobruk being held out, or holding out against the Germans, and you also talk about the Syrian campaign against the Vichy French, but again, to stop the Germans, presumably, from coming down that way. What do you recall of the general feeling in the air in relation to how the war was going?
I think there they were relieved so much to be out of it. But when you're in different wards, you either, like, you look after the measles, mumps, and or you'd do another duty. You didn't always know what the boys were feeling, as you would in the surgical wards.
What are the general feeling that you had, though, in relation to how the war was going at this time, prior to the Japanese entering?
Well, I think we were just busy working and knowing there was a war on, but... And of course, they had strict security and lights out and blackouts. And
my impression is that people were often too busy to even contemplate what the bigger picture was. Would that be the situation?
I think so. Yes, I think so.
So, how did your day run then? How many hours would you generally work at this period of time, prior to the Japanese entering, and we can talk about it afterwards, but at this time, the initial phase of your experience, how many hours would you be working a day, for instance?
Well, we thought there were a lot, but perhaps it was from 7 in the morning till 5 at night, or a midnight shift from... Look, I'd have to look up my diary to remember.
That's all right. And when you weren't working, but presumably not on leave, what would you do?
Well, you'd take the opportunity to get out of camp. And if you didn't have any friends to take you, you'd probably settle to go together and hire a cab, hire a taxi.
Were you able to keep in touch with your relatives in Australia?
Yes, I wrote daily to Mother. But the mail was the biggest event of our life there. And often there'd be quite a pile because we didn't get it very often.
Presumably you couldn't write too much about your experiences and where you were, what you were doing. What were you able to tell them?
Well, I told Mother everything. I just kept more or less like a diary, which fortunately she kept, of what happened every day. So I've got the letters, but I need to reread them.
But presumably you weren't allowed to tell people where you were, for instance.
No.
What then were you allowed to write, and how did that writing take form?
Well, you'd try and identify it by comparing it with distance from home, or where your brother had gone, or where somebody was.
You were mentioning, obviously, writing letters home to your mother.
Yes.
The forms, I understand you had forms to fill out. Were these...
Not to write letters.
No.
But all our letters had to be sent by the officer.
Who do you recall was your officer?
Oh, Mamie Brown from Perth. She was our officer for the Middle East. And then we had the senior ones from New South Wales, because we were only 25 out of 200 who went overseas.
What of the other officers higher up? I see in your diary at one point you were visited by Blaney.
Yes.
What do you recall of that occasion?
Well, we had a parade, and that was an important, very important function, of course, but we had a lot of parades for different reasons. But that was impressive because it was General Blamey.
How were people like Blamey seen by the average soldier, do you think?
Well, we just took him as a senior officer. We didn't have any hard feelings like the boys had in New Guinea.
Well, he certainly had a bit of a negative impression later on. How was he seen early on, do you think?
Well, just as an important general.
In relation to people like Churchill, for instance, how did people like Blamey stand out?
Well, we didn't see Churchill very often. Blamey. No, Churchill was out there because one of the boys took a photograph of him. And I've got a snap of him, but we didn't see him, of course.
What sort of impression did he give, though?
Well, just that he was important.
Churchill?
Well, it was rather played down, but they didn't advertise it very much, I think. But a friend of mine took a snap of him in the car as he was driving in the desert.
How was he seen by the VAD, by you, for instance, Churchill?
Oh, well, we respected him very highly and thought we were lucky to have a man like that.
Well, you mentioned Chamberlain previously.
Yes, that was before the war. Well, that was the feeling that he'd let us down because they felt, I think, then that war should have started, but actually, it was better that it didn't because it gave the Brits more time to be prepared.
Let's talk then about your duties and how they were to expand. You mentioned, obviously, prior to the Japanese entry. What do you recall of the Japanese entry into the war and how that then affected morale, given the fact at this time you were in North Africa, in as you mentioned, places like Jerusalem, Palestine, Gaza, Syria?
I just think we took it as part of what was going on, because the news wasn't very clear, but...
Had it come as a shock that they had suddenly entered the war?
I don't think so. But our biggest occasion was when we heard that the Sydney had been sunk, and there were rumours that they had arrived in Singapore. But of course that was quite untrue. The sailors had... We didn't know the true significance of it at that time.
November, you heard that the Sydney had been sunk or was missing, presumably. It had occurred in 19th of November.
Was it?
Just
yes.
Off the coast of Western Australia.
Mm.
So the war was getting closer to home, is my impression. How did it feel for you to be in a long way away from home, given all of these bits of information you were receiving?
I think we felt anxious about them, about our Western Australians. But when we were working hard, I think you just sort of can't cope with everything. And we didn't ever feel that. We didn't want to, I suppose. But all the schools here were, some of them evacuated, of course, and so they must have been pretty scared, and a lot of people left their homes, sold them, went into the country, so they must have been pretty scared.
What news did you hear of the Japanese? And given that it was early 42 and they were taking places like Singapore from the British, what do you recall of that?
I think it all just took it in as part of a big scene.
Obviously, the Singapore had been an important part of the British Empire. The Japanese are a serious threat, as I understand. Curtin was demanding that all troops come back.
Yes.
To defend the area.
Well, the boys were very disappointed because they'd just pushed Jerry back in the Middle East, and they felt they'd like to continue the job. And they felt very, very upset at being withdrawn after they had done such a wonderful job in Tobruk.
In relation to the threat that the Germans were about, how were the Germans seen as an enemy in North Africa?
Well, I remember we went down for leave in Cairo, and at the railway station there were all these handsome young blonde Air Force, I think they'd be Germans, which you just took for granted they were prisoners of war, and we didn't even know what they did with them. And Rommel was respected by the men because he followed the Geneva Convention. Even the boys put up his photograph at the end of the ward, and they were told to take it down, of course. But they did respect him.
The Desert Fox.
The Desert Fox. Mm. He was very clever. But they just wanted to beat him, of course.
And you mentioned, obviously, the situation in relation to the Japanese coming into the war. Given that the Americans were now on the scene, how did that make you feel in relation to the situation that the war had taken, the turn that the war had taken in some respects?
Well, I think I felt very relieved because I'd always respected the Americans and we were really in trouble then, and we wouldn't have survived if it hadn't been for the Americans.
But was that a sense that you had prior to the Americans entering into the war, that this was...
It was a long way away there, with the communications sort of vague. But we were relieved, I think. And of course we thought MacArthur was wonderful in those days. The boys got a bit hurt because they looked very mournful and say, oh, their girlfriend was going out with an American. And I said, well, now, what were you doing last night? And they'd say, oh, that's different. You knew there were quite a lot of nightclubs and places which they got to.
Do you recall going to any nightclubs and that sort of thing in the Middle East?
Yes, when we were on leave, there were certain clubs that had dancing in the evening. It's not exactly nightclubs, but... And I remember on one occasion I was with a New Zealand officer, and the girl in the bar was there one day, and he said, she's not there anymore, and he had reported her, and she was a spy, so... They were all pretty well aware that you had to be careful. And you didn't take spies. You took them very seriously. I think it was tense all the time, but you just relaxed and...
You mentioned, obviously, sort of letting your hair down in some respects, given this tension in the air. What was the atmosphere of some of those clubs that you would frequent?
Oh, very pleasant, because as I said, they nearly always had a bit of music. And they were very good pianists or violinists. Often it was just a violin. And that had happened in the afternoon, too. That gives you relaxation and to be able to dance and...
In relation to the experience of the Americans now coming into the war, Curtin was to look to America. Australia looks to America was what he had talked about in late December of 1941. Mm. How was that seen, that England wasn't so important anymore?
It wasn't that it wasn't important, it was just that they couldn't afford to help us. They were so busy with their problems. That's why if we hadn't had the Americans, we would have really been sick.
As 1942 progressed, obviously the people talk of the Japanese, the situation in New Guinea, Burma Railway. Presumably these were things that you weren't necessarily able to hear about.
That's right, yes.
But in June of 1942, you would have heard that Tobruk had fallen. How did that strike home? That was your area of operation, as it were. How did that affect morale? Tobruk was finally
reclaimed. Oh, they felt very proud, I think.
Well, the Germans had taken Tobruk.
Yes.
Finally, they'd taken Tobruk. What did that mean for the rest of the area?
I didn't really remember. I can remember our troops, the division, the 6th Division being brought back early, fairly soon after we got there. But I don't remember that part.
As time progresses, people start talking of the Germans heading closer to Alexandria.
Oh, yes.
What was that like?
They were fearful of that because they apparently had all their currency made over. You know, they were expecting to go into Cairo. So that was a very close shave.
Hearing, as you mentioned earlier, Alamein approaching, the sort of sense of anxiety presumably heightened. What was it like to know that things actually could turn to the worst?
Well, it was very apprehensive because we had blackouts then, of course. Then trying to nurse in the dark wasn't much fun. But you just got on with it. It was nothing. We were relied. They had an escape route for us out of Syria. And we just thought we were in good hands, that they'd look after us. That's the women.
Had you ever had to work at night with air raids at all going
on? Yes. Well, the air raids were near us. And a few bombs were dropped, and when Alamein was on, we could, the first night, we could see the sky and hear it. And then, of course, when casualties were coming in, you're just too busy doing, because we had to rely on the officers in charge, and otherwise we just did our duty.
How was Montgomery seen?
Well, he was seen as, of course, we loved our General Morshead, and but Montgomery, we didn't realise how important he'd been, I think, till later on. We didn't have any photographs of him or anything. It was really, you know, when you're very busy and tired, and you just trust the powers that be.
You mentioned obviously working at night time and air raids being on close by. What was that like?
Well, you see, it was an awful nuisance.
Why was it a nuisance?
Well, because we had to go into slit trenches, and you just felt mad, you know. Or, I mean, I suppose a bit scared too. It's funny how you philosophical you get when you're working hard and doing your job, as we were, and knowing that the men were in charge and they took good care of us. We didn't even know where the escape route was, but we heard about it. They don't tell you very much.
Secrecy is of
the... Yes.
Was that ever a problem? I asked you before that you sort of had to put your trust in the powers that be, but the uncertainty of everything, did that ever sort of affect people?
Oh, yes. I think a few even nurses succumbed to the tension. Otherwise, you're just too busy working hard.
The general atmosphere in places like Alexandria. What were your impressions of places like Egypt? Presumably, you'd seen some of Egypt.
Well, we went down to Cairo. I was lucky to be amongst the first to go because my brother was supposedly somewhere near the five of us were given leave. Incredibly lucky. I don't even know to the day I found out that he was at Heliopolis. And I managed.
And what did you get up to?
Well, they did have nightclubs in Alexandria, of course. No, I'm sorry, that's. When did I see him?
You mentioned that you'd gone down to Paris. Did you see the pyramids, for instance?
Oh, yes.
What were your impressions of the pyramids?
I thought they were very grand and much bigger than blocks of structure than I'd imagined. I mean, too big to climb up for the woman. And I didn't have any wish to go down in the middle of the pyramids, but we were on camels and riding around the area. But Cairo had some beautiful places, and we could go dancing in a number of places. And there was one place I wanted to see. I said to my brother, I'd love to see a nightclub. And would they take us? It's through. And when we got there, it's so sort of sordid and miserable that the next day they were all made officers and we weren't allowed to go. It was officers only. And we weren't allowed to go to the nightclubs. They picked out which ones you were allowed to go to.
Were you given rank at all?
No, we didn't have rank. We were just VADs in the Middle East. When we came back, we had to transfer to the Emirates, and we had rank then. And when you had rank, you weren't allowed to be nursing, which was bitterly disappointing. But I was lucky that I had office experience, so I was in the X-ray department as a typist. And that was very interesting.